Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I should know this, that the Parliament thing was actually a Chevy Chase reference from National Lampoon's European Vacation. I atone for my sins on that one. It does seem like pretty much everyone on social media believes that you lost the rap battle.
That's fine. I got a little too big for my britches. You know, we did kind of like a post game with Jax of where I might have went wrong in the entire thing.
And where do you think you went wrong?
I shouldn't have said going into it that I felt like Baskin just didn't say much. Like, yeah, he was literally just naming things quietly about London. So I thought, like, in my head, I was like, well, I could do the opposite and I could actually like rap about London. But then as the words were coming out of my mouth, I was like, I can't think of anything that rhymes with any of what I'm saying right now.
That seems to be a crucial part of rapping.
And that's where we kind of went wrong.
Now, we never do this, right? Because we can be a fairly ruthless show. But I'm willing, I'm sure Jax is as well. You've had the benefit of the break. If you want us to drop the beat again, because I think you're better than what you did. I don't think you were awful. I don't think you really did. Didn't think you really landed the plane. I don't think you were awful, but we are willing to give you a second chance at rapping Nick Padone to just dust Andy Baskin.
At some point in the show, from now until 7, maybe it'll happen. It's not going to be right now, though.
Wait, what do you mean at some point?
Like at some point, maybe I'll feel ready to...
Does Jax just drop a beat and then you just go?
Maybe. But right now, I feel like
you're tapped out.
Right now, I'm tapped out.
That's
right
fair. Now, that's a tough
one. I'm accepting defeat. Baskin, I'm conceding. Baskin got me for now with the London rap. I think if we tailored the topic to something different, maybe I'd have a better chance. But I also feel like that's just trying to make myself feel better.
I think that's probably correct there. Yeah. 216-474-0092. Rappin' Padone or Rappin' Baskin. Anybody out there want to give Nick a win on this one? I cannot. Too rich for my blood. I think Jax is right there as well. But you know, you tried. Most people wouldn't try, and we appreciate that. And I will say, there's something else trying, as in trying my patience. Bing, bang, boom, pow. That was a little bit of a segue there. I cannot stand the Shador Sanders conversation anymore. I can't do it.
Well, did you see there's another layer of it now? Dylan Gabriel has responded to the miming of Shador Sanders responding.
Did he also
to Dylan
mime?
Gabriel being named the starter? He did not. He did not mime. And by the way, did Dylan Gabriel 216-474-0092? Did Dylan Gabriel miss a massive opportunity to stand up for his fellow rookie quarterback by not miming back to the media today?
So what did he say?
He pretty much just said that he can't speak for Shador.
What a teammate. What a teammate. What a fella. Yeah. Nailed it there, Dylan. Yeah. Really put to bed that whole, is there a feud between Dylan and Shador? Do they not like each other? And by the way, I think it's one-sided. I think Dylan just doesn't like Shador. But well done.
By the way, I think that's like an unpopular take to have. But the more time goes on, the more that I think that's like the take to have. Like, he's flying a little close to the sun with all of these comments, entertainers versus competitors. And I know they were able to put that one to bed. And then this whole thing that happened this week with the perfect timing being mentioned. And that's the name of Shador's rap song. Like, Dylan's flying pretty close to the sun with having an actual beef with Shador. And it's like starting to become not that much of a secret.
I don't think. Let me put it this way. One, just because the team said it wasn't a thing and Dylan said it wasn't a thing and Shador said it wasn't a thing doesn't mean it's a thing. that organization, and by the way, most organizations do, the culture of sports is to tamp down any potential outside flare-up, keep it inside the building. It's also something that is inevitably a fruitless thing. Like, yeah, we took a while for the Johnny Manziel stuff to get out. It got out.
Could I ask you this?
The same every quarterback, every beef that's been out there, by and large, does come to light eventually. And I think after teasing you, I think on Wednesday when Dylan's initial comments came out, I thought about it, and I think you're right. I do think Dylan was shading. I think it's too many times now. It's too many coincidences. And I do think, it seems to be one-sided. Shador does not seem to have any problem with Dylan that we know of, but Dylan does seem to be a bit of a knitting circle Betty about Shador Sanders for some damn reason.
Well, especially because when it pertains to quite literally any other topic, Dylan Gabriel is the definition of vanilla. He doesn't give you anything, but the moment that Shador comes up, we get entertainers versus competitors, and what's that all about? And then all of a sudden, that's about the media, and then now that you're named the starter, what do you make of this? Especially because teams usually do try to tone this stuff down. The Browns put that quote on a graphic and put it out on their social media. You wait for the perfect time. You're going to wait your whole lifetime. So for me, I've always been ready. They put that quote on a graphic and they share it out and they say, just name the starter and already dropped a bar. Like, guys, do we not want Shador in Cleveland? Like, what's going on here? I'm starting to get a little puzzled because it feels like everybody's taking shots at this guy.
Yeah, I'm just going to tell you. Teams don't come out and say, hey, just so y'all know, we really are dysfunctional and there really is like some sort of an issue here. They don't do that. As a matter of fact, they go, no, it's taken out of context, or no. I just really like timepieces or whatever it is. I think what we're realizing is if all the context clues, which is all you have to go on, if all the context clues, the photos where all the rookies were doing wrist up, except Dylan Gabriel, who had his wrist down by his side, the multiple times it seemed like Dylan's taking a shot at Shador, all that. All these context clues are pointing to a problem the Browns created themselves.
Correct.
And the truth is, people have said, how excited would you be if you just were talking about Dylan Gabriel this weekend and there wasn't the vague threat of Shador Sanders behind him? Now, my rebuttal would be, I don't think Dylan Gabriel's a starting quarterback. I think he's going to be a long-term backup, and I don't get excited about backups. The second he plays like a starter, I am on board and as happy as can be, yep. Right? But until he makes me a believer, no, there... Like, I'm excited because I think Dylan gives you things that Joe won't, and because I think at some point anything's better than what you just saw with Joe. But I also think, like, I can't, if Dylan's got some sort of a complex because of how popular Shador is, and that's including with his teammates, if Dylan's got some sort of complex because of how much people talk about Shador versus how much they talk about him, and that's part of this. If this is more to do about the coverage of the two players and the way that I do think Dylan has been overly criticized, I've been the worst one of it, I get it. But it's the most avoidable thing in the world. One, you could have just drafted one of the quarterbacks. And two, you could have seen this coming from a mile away. And if either quarterback can't be their best self, or if there's some sort of dust up between the two or dislike of the two, I get that it's a professional locker room and you don't have to be best friends and all that crap. At the same point, that's the one room that has to be kumbaya more than any other. And if this becomes a distraction, if this becomes a weight around the Browns, you get no mercy for me, because anyone with a brain could have seen that this could be a really weird dynamic that might just require some actual leadership from somebody in that organization.
And you know what the other thing is it's putting more unnecessary pressure on this kid. He's a third-round pick. He was the number 94 overall pick. Nobody else was going to draft him in the top 100, guys. So the fact that now you're putting his face on a graphic with a quote that a lot of people on the internet have interpreted as a shot at his teammate... You better play pretty well on Sunday, because you know what Shador Sanders has that Dylan Gabriel does not have? an international fan base. People that will come out of the woodwork, whether it be in Jackson, Mississippi, whether it be in Boulder, Colorado, whether it be right here in Cleveland, Ohio. Shador's got a lot of people on his side that want to see him play. Dylan Gabriel does not, so the Browns continued to pump air into the Dylan Gabriel tires all offseason and all preseason and told you how much better this kid is than Shador Sanders. Now this guy's evidently reading a little bit of his own press clippings and taking some shots at Shador Sanders along the way. You better be good, Dylan. You better be good, because I know the Sanders Army will be out in full-fledged if he struggles, even for a series on Sunday. That's how crazy these people are.
Yeah, it's not, but it's not just them. Again, the Browns have put average Browns fans in a place to make a decision on Dylan and Shador. None of you should, by the way. It's a third-round and a fifth-round quarterback. But the pressure of a third-round and a fifth-round quarterback, and also the idea that you're probably going to be drafting a quarterback high next year, that adds another caveat of pressure on this. Another stone of pressure on this. And not just that, those guys know it too. So they're not just fighting each other for the potential future of the Browns quarterback. They're also fighting each other to see who can be the guy that might get the last man standing chance before they hand it off to a rookie next year. And again, all of this is circumstantial. None of this is written in stone, yada, yada, yada. But the Browns don't come out and tell you things. And when you don't say things and you don't stand for anything and you lie to the media and you lie to your fans, this is what happens, and this is where people... And listen, I don't buy the nice guy crap from Dylan. He is a competitor, and he has some issue, whether it's directly with Shador or the way Shador is covered. And that is not a great look for a kid who was lucky to be drafted in the third round. I am not going to choose a side between a third. It's beneath me. It's beneath everybody in this town to stand for quarterbacks who haven't done diddly squat in the NFL. And statistics tell you that neither guy's likely to do a damn thing either. But the idea that either of them feels any pull to embarrass or to make fun of or stand up the other guy, it's the epitome of stupid, and all of this was avoidable. And that's before we get to the ongoing discourse, which we're going to have to get to later, which has hit the epitome of annoying as well. Matthew Collar, Purple Insider, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. From foggy old London town, Browns, Vikings, it is an impossibly early kickoff on Sunday morning. Will the Browns get their second win of the season? Let's be honest here. Are the Vikings ready for the wrath of Dylan Gabriel? And who never waits for the right time. He's always on time. It's always great to talk with our next guest of the Purple Insider, Matthew Collar, joining us on the Fan Hotline. Matthew, welcome to the show.
How's it going? You know that I have the same exact birthday as Ken Carmen. Did you know that? Same exact day.
I did not know that. Was it the same year, too?
Same year, same exact day. Yep, we were doing each other's show one time, and we discovered that. Crazy stuff.
Do you ever use phrases like stealing feeling that nobody really understands?
No, I don't think so. I don't know if we're connected in any other way than just being born on the same day. But I thought I'd throw that out there for my Cleveland connection.
I think that the universe is connected, and I think in some weird way, maybe there's a past life connection. I'm a big believer in that kind of stuff, and not just because weed is legal here in Ohio now. Matthew, about 60% of the offensive line for the Vikings is super banged up. Is Carson Wentz going to need the King's Guard to be part of his offensive line on Sunday morning?
Oh, wow. I don't know if you can criticize Ken's cheesiness after that one. But look, I mean, the answer is definitely not if it goes a certain way. Like, he definitely cannot handle the offense if they're trying to play from behind. And I think that we really saw that last week, that once the Vikings got down and then you had to drop back Carson Wentz to throw 46 passes, that's not what this offense is built for right now. It's exactly the way Kevin O'Connell would love to play, but you can't do that when you have a backup left guard, a center, actually backup left guard, a center who's never snapped a football in a real game before, and a right tackle who was supposed to be the backup left tackle and wasn't any good at that. So they are in such a dire spot as an offensive line that you have to get ahead in the game, run the football, do all the stuff that teams do to grind out clock, And if you watch Mac Jones throw 90% of his passes under 10 yards, like you'd like to see the Vikings run an offense where they can do that. But there's also the question if Kevin O'Connell can do that with this offense. Like we've seen some opening scripts that include quick game the last 2 weeks. But once things progress throughout the game, it tends to kind of go back to he wants to be a vertical downfield passing offense, which I can't blame him for designing it that way since he has Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. But you also have to adapt to what you have. And when you're talking about facing a defensive line as nasty as Cleveland's, who has really dominated so far this year, like that is such a huge disadvantage. So this feels like it's going to have to be a grindy game where you get a couple of first downs, kick field goals, try to play from ahead, try to take the ball away from Dylan Gabriel, and just don't mess it up. But when you say that about Carson Wentz, and then you look through his history, that's kind of his history. Like, he is a guy that tries to do a little too much sometimes and gets strip sacked or tries to throw into traffic and gets picked off. And I think that Cleveland is probably thinking the same thing. You get a turnover, you get a pick six, you get a strip sack, you get ahead in the game, and then you grind out that Vikings defense, which has not been impervious to opponents running the ball. So I think the Vikings are in a really difficult spot because it's not just that they're playing backups. It also forces them to play a completely different.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Different way than their head coach actually wants to play.
Matthew, I wanted to ask about Dylan Gabriel. You mentioned him there. Locally, it's obviously been the headline as the Browns made the decision to bench Joe Flacco and go with Dylan. What's your perspective on that quarterback change from an opposing team standpoint?
Yeah, I think if you're the Vikings, you probably didn't want to see it. I mean, the way that Joe Flacco was playing, I don't think he was giving them any chance to even move the football at all. And if you're the Vikings, a completely immobile quarterback who has had much better days in his career and just seemed like he wanted the football out of his hands as fast as he could get it, regardless if he could actually get yards doing so, that you love that. But when you're talking about a younger quarterback who really excelled in college, clearly had to win that backup job in training camp in a competition. I think Gabriel in college was very poised and very accurate. Now, that's quite a bit different from your debut on the national stage, international stage, against a Brian Flores defense, which makes nightmares for rookie and young quarterbacks. But at the same time, at least a little bit of fresh live arm, fresh perspective on the offense, maybe get the ball out a little quicker. I don't know. I mean, I think that it kind of goes both ways because, you know, Flacco's seen this defense before and he's a veteran, but he just looks so poor that I think Gabriel at least gives them a little bit of a shot to complete some passes. But I was also kind of a Dylan Gabriel guy in the draft. Like I thought if he was 6'3", that he probably would have been maybe the second best quarterback in this class based on how he actually performed. So I'm kind of intrigued. I don't think the Vikings are terrified of him, but I think they probably would have much preferred to see the washed up, old guy that they knew exactly what he was going to bring to the table, because there is some element of like, how do you prepare against a guy who's never played before?
Matthew, J.J. McCarthy goes top half of the first round 2 years ago, immediately gets injured. That paves the way for Sam Darnold. Then the Vikings decide to not re-sign Sam, rock with J.J. There's a couple good moments, a lot of bad moments, yet another injury. Obviously, he won't play on Sunday, but just I know there's so much confidence in Kevin O'Connell, but how much concern level is there for J.J. McCarthy at this moment?
Yeah, I think it's not like through the roof in the red at this moment. But there is a question about whether they're going to go back to them if they win against Cleveland here, because it wasn't just that it looked bad. It looked catastrophic against the Atlanta Falcons. He looked unprepared. He looked like he didn't know where to go with the football. The footwork was a disaster. He wasn't seeing the field. And he had, by quarterback rating, one of the worst games the last 25 years by a Vikings quarterback. So it was truly that bad. We also know about young quarterbacks that, you know, they can have a really bad game and then come back and bounce back. But the injury, it makes this so much more difficult to evaluate the situation, because if he had come back and played fine against Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, then we would have said, oh, okay, well, typical kid stuff, moving on. But the fact that he's had to sit out these two games here, now, you know, three games, I mean, it brings up all sorts of questions, because you start to think about Anthony Richardson or Trey Lance, these young quarterbacks that really badly needed development but couldn't ever stay on the field. When are you supposed to get better at this if you're not actually out there? And then there's a lot of pressure here. I mean, I know O'Connell is, you know, sort of knighted, if you will, for right now, because he was coach of the year, and that buys you some time. But the NFL doesn't usually give you a ton of time. And, you know, he's got to win. Like, they spent more cash on this roster than anybody else in the NFL this offseason. I don't think the ownership is saying, you know what, it's cool. Like, if you just throw back in McCarthy and whatever happens, happens. Like, this team expects to win. They expect to be in the playoffs and seriously competing. And if they don't believe that McCarthy's ready, then your season rests on a guy who's played for six teams in 6 years and has not really looked like anything more than a typical backup quarterback. So it is a difficult spot, I think, for the head coach right now.
With how important this season is for Minnesota, just how important is this game? Obviously, it's a little bit of a weird spot for the Vikings to be in the back-to-back international games, but when you look at how good the NFC North is looking right now, with the Lions at 3-1, the Packers at 2-1, how important is this for Minnesota to not get caught in a little bit of a trap game?
Yeah, it's really crazy, because you wouldn't think that a week five game would feel like the entire season is at a fork in the road, but it actually is, because when you look at the future going forward on the schedule for the Vikings, they have a bye week, and then it's Philadelphia, the Chargers at Detroit, and then I think the Ravens after that, who I'm guessing will be a little bit better than they've been so far. I mean, that is extremely difficult schedule-wise, and it doesn't really get easier for the rest of the year. They've got Washington. They've got a lot of NFC North games still to go, probably the best division in football. I mean, if you fall behind 2-3 at the beginning of this season, I don't see any way that you catch up. This was supposed to be the time where they go 4-1, create a little bit of a cushion for themselves. You go 500 the rest of the way, and you're in the playoffs. Well, losing that Pittsburgh game was pretty big for them. You lose this, and no offense to the good folks of Cleveland, but I mean, that is a disaster. Like, the way that this Cleveland team has played so far, and that, you know, it's not to say they're so horrendous that they can't win a game against the Packers or that it's an easy opponent, but it's not Detroit, and it's not supposed to be, you know, Green Bay or the Chargers or these, you know, teams that are competing for Super Bowls. So this is a game that every person in Minnesota in that building and every fan wrote down as a W. You come away with a loss here, it's going to feel like, well, who can you beat? They're starting a rookie quarterback with no offensive line. And, yeah, I mean, goodness. So I really do think that a lot hinges on this. And, of course, it would be an international game, which tends to have more of a random element to it. So that doesn't mean anyone's counting out Cleveland for this game. It just means if it doesn't go the right way for the Vikings, their season is going to feel like it's teetering off the edge.
Matthew Collar, Purple Insider on the Fan Hotline here, giving us the inside skinny on the Minnesota Vikings. So with Dillon Gabriel starting, it sure seems like Brian Flores is just really, I mean, maybe it's the fact that he's Timu Tua, and he's just, you know, he's a small left-handed Polynesian quarterback that people don't think was very good in college. I'm not editorializing here. I'm just curious, is Brian Flores licking his lips at this matchup?
I would definitely say that is the case. The biggest thing that we've seen as far as trends against Brian Flores is veteran quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers, Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford, they're pretty much fine with this defense because they just wait for the defense to kind of declare its coverage, and then they make adjustments, and then they find their reads, and it's usually not that bad. But young quarterbacks who get overwhelmed by the number of people who are moving around pre-snap, that don't have answers with the entire playbook or years of a certain playbook, that's where it gets a lot harder. Because if you've never played before and you think that you're looking at, you know, a cover two or something, and then you drop back and there's the Tampa 2 linebacker running back, and you never thought the guy was going to be there, and then you panic and then someone kills you. Like, that's the whole concept. And that's what we've seen when Flores has played rookie and young quarterbacks, is that there's usually panic moments where they don't know where to go with the football when they see something different than they expected. And that also goes for the pass rush, where they use those simulated pressures where they rush four, but it's not the four that you thought it was going to be. So I think that is a real challenge, which means, can you stay ahead of the sticks with Quinshon Judkins? Which I think that they can, based on what we've seen from the Vikings run defense. It's really been quite bad, except for against Cincinnati, which you and I think could, and Ken Carmen could probably stuff Cincinnati up front. But, you know, with a running back like this, we saw Bijan Robinson go crazy. We saw the Steelers put six offensive linemen out there. We know that Stefanski likes two tight ends. I think that if they get ahead of the sticks, then it's much harder for Flores to use all that witch doctor stuff.
Matt, as somebody that covers the Vikings, are you concerned about this game because of how good Cleveland's defense is and because Dylan Gabriel's a little bit of an unknown, or are you feeling pretty comfortable with Minnesota?
I'd say the concern level's pretty high, to be honest. I mean, so I was there for joint practices, 2 years ago, and Myles Garrett's the craziest thing I've ever seen in sports. Like, and this is, you know, covering the NFL, you see big, giant jack guys all the time. I've never seen anybody that size move like that, and I know that's not new information to you guys, but when you're talking about that guy versus an offensive line that is this banged up, Christian Darrisaw is not at 100%, by the way. I wouldn't even say even close. So that, I think you got strip sacks, interceptions, big-time negative plays written all over it with the way that Cleveland's defense can play. And, you know, everybody here saw the game against Green Bay, where it's a defense that can cause turnovers and cause pressure. And anytime that's the case, like, we saw that in the playoffs last year. We saw it in the Super Bowl. We saw it in multiple playoff games where a Justin Herbert can suddenly look like the worst quarterback on earth if the defensive line is pressuring him instantly. And I think that this Cleveland team can do that. So I think Cleveland has the exact right things to beat the Vikings right now. I don't know if I would pick Cleveland, but I'm not picking Cleveland, put it that way. Like, I think that this is a game that Vikings fans, the team, everyone who covers them should be pretty nervous about.
Matthew, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate your time. And it's going to be an interesting one. Don't know if it's going to be a good one, but I know it's going to be an interesting one on Sunday.
I'm predicting 7 field goals combined and maybe 2 of them blocked. So that's the hot prediction there. So anyway, thanks for having me.
All right, wait, real quick, Matthew. What's better, the offense on Sunday or English food?
Oh, yeah, or English tooth care, if we want to be very cliche. Yeah, I don't know. It's not going to be good, but the kicking, those people love the kicking. They go nuts for it. So the kicking could be great. Lots of punting.
Be the most English thing ever, going crazy for field goals. Matthew, be good, bud.
Thanks, man.
Oh, do it through the uprights again, chap, won't you? That's like the second time, by the way, somebody's taking a shot at English teeth on this show. I'm a little upset that the second one wasn't me as well. 216-474-0092. Do you feel better after what you heard from Matthew Collar there? Purple Insider on the Fan Hotline will react to what he had to say in the best trade maybe ever in NFL history in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
I think they're a little bit concerned about the unknown of Dylan Gabriel. I think they're a little bit concerned about how beat up that offensive line is. I think Myles Garrett poses a lot of threats. This is a winnable game for the Browns.
I still don't know about that. Like, I guess theoretically, if the change, if the intent of the change, which is we're going to try and spark the offense. We're not going to turn the ball over because Dylan doesn't do that or didn't do that in college. And we're going to move him around more, which means we're maybe going to take some of the pressure off the offensive line. He's going to get the ball out quick, which is going to, you know, okay. If that happens, very winnable game. But I think whereas Carson Wentz is the ultimate boom or bust, I think Dylan Gabriel's somewhere in the middle there. I think. I don't know definitively. And I don't know how anyone can be that overly confident simply because he's a third-round pick. That doesn't mean, by the way, we should be down about this game. But this is a
strength versus strength kind of matchup. Meaning, your best thing is your front four is going up against their biggest weakness. Well, their biggest strength is their defense going up against your biggest weakness, which is your offense and certainly your offensive line. I think those things cancel out, but it is a wonky game because we know London games can be wonky.
Yep.
It's weird. Like the same things that I said going into the Guardians-Tigers game three, where I was like, I just don't have a feel for this game. I feel very similar about this Minnesota-Cleveland game. Absolutely think it could be winnable. Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, nothing would surprise me, really. And I know I said that at the beginning of the show. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if the Browns were able to manufacture a positive environment where Dylan Gabriel was able to have some success, where Dylan Gabriel was able to move some sticks. Like, that wouldn't stun me, but it also wouldn't stun me if it was a comedy of errors. And if, you know, the left tackle, which is the right tackle for the Browns, like, Jack Conklin going to play this game this week? Think that's anybody's guess. He was a full participant today, but I don't know that that means that he's playing. Like, there's just too many unknowns. There's too many variables, and that goes for both teams. Like, really nothing would surprise me in this game.
So, all that being said, we obviously, we got a little bit into Thursday Night Football, which is a great matchup. I don't think people expected the 49ers to have that kind of success. I feel like I was on the right side of that because I think McCorkle Jones has figured it out there. The one thing that was evident as I was watching that game, one, Mac Jones resurgent. I think that's real. I think he is a starter level quarterback, and I think he'll be this next offseason. Whatever we thought it was going to be Kenny Pickett in Cleveland, I think Mac Jones will be the Sam Darnold. If he plays enough games, we're going to go, he was really, really good. You know, if we have our offensive head coach, whoever that might be, we'll give him a go and see now that Matt Patricia isn't calling plays for him, that Mac Jones has that chance. But really what stood out to me is watching Matt Stafford, who even at damn near 40 years old, can still really make some plays with his talent. And I started thinking about the trade between the Lions and the Rams. And at the time, the Lions basically were like, we need to reset the whole thing. We've been trying to win with Matthew for so long. We don't have the tools to give him. Megatron's retired. So many of the guys who won, and Ndamukong Suh wasn't there anymore. So many of the guys weren't there anymore. So from their standpoint, they needed to refill the coffers, and they just needed a quarterback to get them through. Till I guess the idea was, we're going to take a quarterback at some point in one of these drafts. And then from the LA side of things, while they had been to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff, yeah, but you lost. And I think there was some worried about diminishing returns after the big payday. And they're just, for whatever reason.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
The relationship between McVay and Goff ceased to work. That was the thinking going into it. Now, some 4 years removed, Detroit is one of the powerhouses of the NFC. They have all those picks turned into a huge part of what they were able to do over the last 2 to 3 years. They've established an identity, which they've never had this kind of identity ever. Like, in my entire adult life, when they were good previously, it's like, well, yeah, you have Barry Sanders.
Yep.
But they weren't consistently good. Previously, it was, well, you had Matt Stafford and Ndamukong Suh and one or two other high-level. Of course, you had this run, but it wasn't consistent. And they juggled head coaches because they juggled identities. And they've really found something with Jared Goff. Like, Jared's better now than he was in L.A., he is a completely reborn and set-free quarterback, so they have stability to the quarterback position. They have a roster that was rebuilt with that trade,
And I think they're in their championship window for the next couple of years. And from LA's side, they have the ultimate trump card, which is we traded for Matthew Stafford to win a Super Bowl. We won a Super Bowl, and we're still very competitive with an older Matthew Stafford, who's not the same guy anymore.
And I think the other piece of that for LA is the fact that they've got Sean McVay, who's a really good coach, and that whenever Matt Stafford does decide to walk away, and I kind of expect it to be after this year, you feel pretty confident about Matt Stafford being relieved by a young quarterback under McVay, and that they could find a way to make that succession plan work. Whereas for Detroit, the big chatter this offseason was, okay, now that Goff lost Ben Johnson, what's he going to be able to do? What's this offense going to look like? And I think Goff, to his credit, has proven to the world, like, no, I'm not a system quarterback. I can elevate the play of the roster around me, and I'm with you. Like, I think the Lions can win a Super Bowl with Jared Goff. And when that trade was made, I think it was only made because the Rams said, we don't believe that Jared Goff is a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. We made it all the way there with him, but they probably felt as if we made it in spite of Jared Goff, not because of Jared Goff. Whereas now, if you're Detroit, I think you look at Jared Goff being like, no, this is a dude that we know can distribute the football to Laporta and Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown, and it is an embarrassment of riches, and ultimately that's going to help any quarterback succeed and find success. But I'm with you. I believe the Lions are for real, and I think that they're in a Super Bowl window of their own. It makes me jealous as a Browns fan. It does, because like, how are these teams able to just seamlessly flip-flop, okay, everything works, and we're about our business in multiple playoff runs and competing for Super Bowls, and
I can tell you exactly how.
Looking for our quarterback still.
It's two things. It's leadership, and it's a lack of desperation. And the Browns far too often, and this is part of the Haslam ethos, but I think, you know, sometimes the Browns have been aggressive to be aggressive, and sometimes they've been aggressive to be desperate. And it's really hard to succeed if there's an element of desperation. And it's in like, but that leadership thing, and again, that this is where it is a little bit on Kevin, and it is a little bit on Andrew. But like, I just continue to go back to the Stafford Goff thing. I was trying to think of another example of any trade period in the NFL where a player was traded straight up for another player, or a cadre of picks and players where it worked out for both sides. Where, like, even if Detroit wins a Super Bowl with Jared Goff, Lions fans are going to say, well, we got ours too.
Right.
So we're good.
Right.
Like, neither side, anything that if, and by the way, if Detroit doesn't win with Jared Goff, it'll still be the most prolific run of Lions football in 50 damn years since they won a championship, 60 years, and since 1957. So, but I was thinking about, like, Herschel Walker. That trade worked out for one team. It was Dallas. It was not Minnesota, who he never rushed for 1,000 yards for. Randy Moss going from Oakland to New England. Yeah, that one worked out for New England. Don't look into what happened for Oakland. The only one that I can think that kind of makes sense is Stephon Diggs to Buffalo for the 22nd pick, which became Justin Jefferson. But even then, the statute of returns for Buffalo, like, at some point they ran out because Stephon gave you a couple really good years and then the bottom fell out and he kind of became a pain in the ass, whereas Justin Jefferson is clearly the better player, and it's not like the Bills have had that much more postseason success than the Vikings.
Another piece of that one, too, is that, that's a receiver trade. Like, this, the fact that this Rams-Lions one is a quarterback trade, and it works so well for both sides, like, you never see that, and maybe you probably will never see that again, because maybe this will change how teams view their own quarterbacks that they've got in their building.
But I legitimately cannot think of another absolute true win-win trade, meaning like one over multiple years. I've seen it like the Brett Favre trade to the Jets. That worked out for a short time. It worked out okay for Green Bay too. But like, in the end, Green Bay absolutely won that divorce and the Jets ended up going back to being the Jets. Like, even the Joe Montana thing. Joe Montana had two nice years in Kansas City. San Francisco went on to win another championship or two. 216-474-0092 is the Stafford for Goff trade the best? Let's just say best trade in NFL history, because neither side can really gripe about it. We got the lead and a big show announcement in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.